Oh, yes, everybody. This is the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. I am Flex Matt. He is Brandon Adam, and we are doing some last-minute NFL draft takes for you, Brandon. I know this is quite quick, Shane. Shane's gallivanting across the United States here. He's a Canadian. I don't know where amongst the world he is, but we are unable to grab the availability to go live on our DFS Army feedcast. So we're going to upload this essentially download this and then re-upload it. So we're able to get that done. But you're going nuts. We got the NFL draft tomorrow. I forget who said it, if it was you or Mike, but it's Christmas tomorrow. Yeah. And it's literally Christmas Eve right now for all of us degenerates. And you are like, we got a pod. I got some takes, we got some things, and I'm excited to get into it. So how are you, brother?
Good, man. I'm so excited. Yeah, we had to get some things out there on tape. We've been talking about some of these takes for sure the last, I don't know, couple months on some of them. So some things are gaining speed, some traction, and I don't know if it's clickbait, but some things are happening possibly, and it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a really wild first round this year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to start with, or maybe just kind of going from the top of the draft down. I still want to hold out hope, just a little bit of hope that, why do you bring Cliff Kingsbury in to the Washington? Mm-hmm. There's too much juice with him and Caleb to think that there is not going to be a push from Washington to try to get up to one. Do you think at all that is possible? I mean, at this point, it seems like it's impossible, but what would it take Washington to actually achieve that? I mean, it has to be what you call Trey Lance.
Like what three first to get there, man? Like, I think it's that. I think it's that long. Like,
three first seems not good enough. That seems like it's not going to happen for three firsts.
It's not going to happen. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. So I think it's actually going to be, I think one of the takes that you were talking about, one of your guys that's been steaming up is JJ McCarthy. And there's been some rumors and some shifting of betting odds for him and Jaden Daniels in the last few weeks. So I'm excited to see who goes number two. Jaden Daniels seemed to not like the way that they were being handled throughout the whole process. I don't know if that is going to be a problem for Washington, but McCarthy number two is not out of the cards, I think.
Well, I also think that there's two ways to take this. Okay, or three ways, actually. One is Washington just flat out likes JJ McCarthy. So, they could absolutely do that. So if that happens, then the rumors that are out there that are talking about how Jaden Daniels did not have a good visit with the Washington Commanders, which, I mean, kind of makes sense. I mean, the Washington Commanders aren't known to be a franchise that – you absolutely want to play for, and you'll look at Terry McLaurin. Is he going to stay long term? Maybe he is. I mean,
but really, who cares? The guy's never been a wide receiver one in his whole career. So it's like, I think we give way too much respect to Terry McLaurin. And I mean, D-Hop was a number one wide receiver with trash QBs. He was able to do it. I think Terry McLaurin gets let off the hook quite a bit. Yeah, I think if JJ McCarthy goes two, I think it's going to unfold a big domino effect down the board, meaning I think number three is going to be Drake May no matter what. I think that's going to be Drake May, number three. And then with Jaden Daniels falling to four, I could see the Raiders trying to go as high as they can to get to four to get Jaden McDaniels and reunite Jaden Daniels with Antonio Pierce, his old coach from ASU. So I think that is a possibility if JJ McCarthy goes number two.
Yeah, the other kind of not dominoes, but the things I was thinking about for JJ number two is just that, you know, the other idea is that they're okay to trade back. And, you know, it seems like the way the trade scales kind of look is that having a number 11 and 23 for the Vikings is maybe like, you know, really good. Two first round picks, especially in this draft class, to come up to two. But the problem is, I don't think that would get it done either. You know, and it doesn't matter who you're trading up for, because at that point, you're just trading up for whoever you want of the guys versus having to sit back and worry. And I think what it is with J.J. McCarthy is his leadership. I think that is something that, you know, when you have an NFL coach that's coached him, that talks the kid up to the moon, and I like JJ McCarthy a lot. I think that he has been held back. Like, he can be unleashed. Now, is it going to happen at Washington? You know, probably not, right? Maybe.
I'm worried about it. Yeah, that's not where I want him. I think the best place for him is to marinate for a year or two. So Atlanta would be a great spot for him, to be honest, if it was able to fall that way for him. Like, I would actually be more in on McCarthy if that was the case, instead of having to be put out there right off the bat, like at Washington.
I think that also, you know, the Patriots, I think they're going JJ McCarthy. I don't think that they're going Drake May. I think pure leadership and arm talent, and, you know, which I know Drake May has, but Drake May's kind of a bozo. You and I are not exactly high on Drake May. I do like Drake May's intangibles, and I know that on that atypical size, which he is a big QB, those are QBs you want to take a swing at. You know, if you're in a spot like the Patriots are at three, where it's like, okay, well, you're going to get the third best quarterback, or ideally, you know, it's going to be between the two guys that the other teams don't want. And so I just feel like, great, if JJ McCarthy is at three, I feel like they're going to go JJ McCarthy at three and not Drake May. But if JJ's gone, then again, now you're in a position where Jaden Daniels could fall to New England, and we hate that, even though we really love him for fantasy because of his running output, you know, or his rush output, to see him at, you know. But then again, Ramondre Stevenson seemed to break through there and become a serviceable runner behind that system. So maybe it does work. I mean, when Lamar went to the Ravens, it wasn't necessarily looked at as an offense that was going to all of a sudden be electric. You know, it was like, it was not a perfect scheme for him as a run first scheme, but he ended up pulling through that with his ability. So, you know, that's the real issue, is if somebody wants Jaden or JJ McCarthy, I do feel like they have to get up to three or up to two to get him. Do you feel that way?
To lock him in 100%. I feel that way. My number three is Michael Penix, out of Washington, my QB3. I think he's going to end up being the best value of any of these quarterbacks in the real NFL draft. But McCarthy, man, I'm like, he is Jordan Love kind of esque type deal, raw, talented, got decent arm strength. He's an athlete. He can move. He's a better athlete than honestly Jordan Love is running the football.
And he's a better athlete than people even give him credit for.
I think he is. I think he's actually Kirk Cousins plus.
Yeah, I like that.
With a little bit more run aspect to him. I don't think he's a Josh Allen at all. I don't think he's that. I don't think Drake May's that either. I think none of these guys really comp out to Josh Allen. But some people like to say that, but I just don't. But yeah.
Well, you didn't see Drake May light up the combine like Josh Allen, you know, or however the pre-draft process with Josh Allen saw him throwing absolute bombs.
Yeah.
Right. Just crazy. And so it was so when I'm looking at this at 1, 2, 3, I'm thinking easy enough for Cardinals to go Marvin Harrison. And there's no way they're trading out of that.
Please, God.
I know everybody's talking about, you know, you shared that video about the Cardinals front office. They get giggy on trades, and their front office is willing to actually kind of take a little bit of a risk, because we've seen it last year. They dominated the trade that they had with the Texans. They went back, but then they kind of lost a little bit of value coming up to grab Paris Johnson. And it was, you know, they took a risk. They won with that risk. And then they had to pay a little more than what the value was for that move up. So you see that maybe because of that, they might trade out of four, you know, but I just can't see them missing out. Because here's the thing. If they go further than six, they might lose Neighbors and Marvin Harrison. And at that point,
I think they would be okay with Rome. I actually think Rome would be a very good X for Kyler.
Yeah, but who's trading with four? So if we're assuming Washington doesn't trade out, so let's assume that.
Giants.
Okay, well, the Giants could go from four to six. I understand that. They could. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to trade up two spots to grab a QB. I just don't, because I think me and you both know that they probably are okay taking Penix if they want to sit back.
I think that's true. I think the value is
there. But let's say
the
Vikings, right? So it is the Vikings. If the Vikings can't nail the trade at two for J.J. McCarthy, and for some reason it gets to four and J.J.'s still there, or even Jaden Daniels ends up being
right
there.
What? Nobody talks about that possibility.
Yeah, so like, Jaden Daniels is there at four, and the Vikings are going to trade up. So you're telling me that the Cardinals are going to go all the way to 11, and then what? Try to work back up? You know,
I would trade back into to Chicago to see if, because they only have five total picks. So this year. So if they want to gain some more picks and just drop from 9 to 11, I would do that in a heartbeat if I was them. Because honestly, Rome is a luxury pick for them. I want that for Caleb. I think Caleb, one of my hot bold takes is that this time next year, when we're doing startup drafts, Caleb will be the QB5 on the board. And if Rome is a part of that equation, I am even further entrenched with that. But I think Chicago could trade back a little bit, gain a little bit of value, and still go get yourself maybe a Brock Bowers at 11 instead of Rome at nine, and get yourself Brock and a little bit of juice as well.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, the Cardinals end up with Rome, then I think the Jets would then go Brock Bowers at 10.
I would think so.
You would miss it altogether for the Bears, and you would just assume, okay, we're not going offense with these picks. We're going defense.
They could be offense if they're lucky, but they would probably plan on like taking like a Byron Murphy maybe, go pass rush. They need, you know, Eberflus is a defensive coach, and I'm sure he wants more pass rush to pair with Montez Sweat. Murphy would be a great fit there. Jared Verse possibly would be a great fit at 11 as well. I think that could be a possibility for Chicago if they really want to build that way. But man,
well, if they took the trade, they'd be forced to play that way. That's why I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to wait. I mean, so with our nuts on the table, I'm saying they're just going to stay. Cardinals are going to stay. They're going to get Marvin Harrison. You can't do that and you can't make the move out of there and you can't, it's because Marvin Harrison comes with the prestige. Marvin Harrison comes with a type of leadership about him that you would think that Kyler would grow up, you know, and say, okay, let's go to work, like on a high end.
To be honest, if Kyler doesn't produce this year with a Marvin Harrison, they're going to trade him next year. They're moving on from him. They're going to end up rebuilding and setting the clock again. Kyler needs to understand that he has to produce this year if he gets a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Malik Neighbors, or a Roma Dunze. If he does not, the Cards will move away from him in 2024, 2025.
So then we get to the obvious trade candidate in being the Chargers. Now, if you know, we're going to put our nuts on the table and we're saying Marvin Harrison's going to be off the board. We're going to say, do we put our nuts on the table for JJ McCarthy at two, or is JJ McCarthy still on the board here?
I think Jaden Daniels is the fit for the Washington Commanders. I think that's the fit. It's just too good for what Cliff wants in a quarterback. So I think he's going to be two. I think McCarthy will be on the board at five. And this is, we've been saying it in our chat for months, man. Months. Does Jim Harbaugh reconfigure this whole thing and move Justin Herbert and go get JJ McCarthy and trade away a Justin Herbert and go get themselves a ton of cap, you know, get themselves a couple first and then gets that contract off the books. Yes, a big cap hit this year, but just like the Broncos take the cap hit and build for the future, because they know for a fact that even if they got, you know, a Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers somehow, or a Malik Nabers to the Chargers, I don't think that offense is even capable of competing with the Chiefs, or even with a Michael Penix led Raiders team, which is quite possible at 13. So I feel like this, we're going to really find out what Jim's all about here at five, because I think JJ McCarthy will be on the board for him.
Okay, so, and that's, you know, I guess we're building a little mock draft as we're going here. It's kind of a fun exercise. I enjoy that. So if they trade Justin Herbert, it's clear it's the Vikings, but yes, maybe Vikings. It's not. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, yes, you probably don't have enough capital anywhere else. This draft's a stellar draft to grab capital in. You know, Harbaugh has the most reach to the college scheme this
Absolutely.
Year, obviously,
just like Pete Carroll did, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing: it's not going to be 11-23 for Justin Herbert if that happens. You got to add more. I mean,
something
Herbert,
else too in next year in 2025 for sure.
Yeah, Herbert's definitely worth more. If that happens, Justin Herbert may be the number one
QB4.
Overall quarterback.
QB three.
No, yep. Come on.
Yep. QB three. I would put him right there. QB threes.
With
Very
Justin
legitimate.
Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Hawkinson.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
And that I arm.
Know. I know. Okay. I know.
I mean,
okay.
Josh Allen just falling down the board. Josh Allen has nobody.
That's one of my – so one of my bold calls of the projection of this year is that Josh Allen is going to fall out of the top five for the first time since 2019. So I don't think he's going to be a top five scoring quarterback this coming up season. He's got way too much to teach to new wide receivers. I think they're going to be leaning on the run game a little bit more. I think they're going to have to play a different style now, and they have to rebuild. I think this is like a new era within the era of Josh Allen. And I think they have to rebuild for a big time run and push maybe in 2025, 2026.
Well, when we get to the Bills pick, we could really dive into that. But so we're going to say Harbaugh moves the pick, right? So let's say he moves the pick, whether or not. Okay. I don't think Justin Herbert's getting traded. I think
no, I don't think so either. I think it's going to happen. Yeah,
I think he's going to move the pick no matter what. I think this is the spot that if JJ McCarthy is still there, they move up this for that. That's an easy one. Even if it's not JJ McCarthy, whoever is left there at four, okay, May McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. Because of the injury with Penix, there's just no way you can give up that type of capital for Penix. Unless you absolutely think he's your guy, but I just doubt it, you know? And so, okay, we move that trade. Let's say Jaden, or JJ McCarthy goes off. So now we're at six. Now this is the crazy pick right here, because again, if the Giants wanted to go quarterback. Now, I was listening to our local radio here in Seattle, and they had the Bucs former GM on. And I know that he's been on Sirius XM a lot, but he is talking about how GMs in, you know, he got fired, right? You know, he drafted Josh Freeman for the Bucs, you know, and unfortunately, and he was saying, you know, you take a look at their division, and their division had Breeze, Matt Ryan, and I forget who the third guy was, but they were all veteran.
Cam.
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, maybe it was. And
Cam.
And you, yeah, yeah, you look around, it's like, well, it's not that my guy's not good, but, you know, he's the fourth best quarterback in the division. And sometimes as a GM, you know, you stick yourself with some wrong picks or whatever, or and they don't work out, you end up getting fired and you end up not even having an option. So when you look at, you know, taking swings at quarterback, if you land, if it's Brock Purdy, it can make up for a lot. We saw the swing and a miss with Trey Lance, worst miss almost of all time, you know, on the quarterback side. Josh Rosen comes to mind too. But then you make up for it with Brock Purdy and people start to slowly forget. You know, it's like.
Exactly. Like John Lynch should be freaking fired for that move. You know, like somebody should, or at least find $500,000 or something. Like you made the craziest trade of, like, even during that draft process, I was a bit, I liked Trey Lance. I liked his. Upside, I thought that was entirely too much to trade up for a guy like Trey Lance that's coming from smaller school, didn't play a lot, pure raw. He's very raw. He had tools, traits, yes, but raw. So that's where it gets dangerous, is when you're, like you said, if like Michael Penix is a dangerous guy to go draft for or trade up for right now because of the injury stuff. But with Trey Lance, it was because of just experience. And so, yeah, I feel like Neighbors should be the pick, to be honest, for the Giants, and just go with it. Get a superstar. Just get Ja'Marr Chase, god dang it, and actually build an offense out and actually have something that can, you know, you can actually create from all three different levels of the field with the wide receiver that can attack anyway. And Malik Neighbors is that. And if I was the Giants, that's exactly the direction I would go.
Well, and at this time, and I hate to be, you know, Mr. Wet Blanket, because, you know, Mike's not around and that's usually him, but let's be real. I mean, Danny Dimes, that regime decided to pay him, you know, they decided to pay him instead of even just figure it out. They just paid him. You know,
stupid.
And now they're like, well, okay, so it's one or the other. It's take a swing on a QB and hope for Brock Purdy, because you're going to get fired almost at this point. I mean, there's no way.
That's why you got to go Neighbors, man.
Even if Danny Dimes succeeds, like, how much do you really see him succeeding? An 8-win team? It would have to be a 12-win Giants team. And you would have to get to the NFC Championship. You probably got at least get there. I mean, and even if that happens, you're still on the hot seat. So I'm going to say that they swing on QB. And I don't think with the injury history, you go Penix. I just think you swing on Penix and he's got all that negativity surrounding him, where you're like, oh, how can you swing on a guy with an injury history? He goes down one time. It's the worst pick of all time, right? And if you swing on Bo Nix, right, then you're like, okay, you get a veteran, you get somebody who could come in, who may have a good opportunity to run around in this offense. Now, Danny Dimes has been doing the same thing, right, running around in this offense. So I don't know how much better you're getting here, but maybe you are. Maybe you're stepping up. Maybe you take the swing. And I'm going to say at six, there's not a – I mean, it's Malik Neighbors, which you're drafting it for when you get fired, and then the other guy drafts the quarterback. And
also, we got to consider this. Like, what if the owner says, hey, we have a huge salary cap commitment to Daniel Jones this year. You're getting the wide receiver, and I'm not going to allow you to be the coach to choose the quarterback of our future if they aren't liking what they're seeing. I wouldn't allow them to select and draft my quarterback if I'm the owner and be like, hey, like if I know he's on the hot seat to at this point, You got to make it work with Daniel Jones because you're the ones that paid him. So you need to do that instead. And if it is a miss, and if Daniel Jones is a bust again this year, let's say that, and they do take Neighbors, then they're in contention for Shedeur Sanders next year. Like, that's what I would do if I was the owner. I would actually totally cock block the GM on that and be like, you aren't picking the quarterback unless it's like JJ McCarthy. Then I can see it happening. But like anybody outside of that, I don't think it's I see it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If you're the owner and you really have enough nuts to kind of step in between what's going on there, I think the pick is Malik Neighbors. Let's move on. Now, yeah. The Titans up at 7, there's a lot of talk right now. Everyone is mocking offensive linemen. But I think this is actually a really sneaky, sneaky pick and landing spot for Rome Odunze here.
Yep, you're right.
Because
you're right.
I mean, again, it's just, hey, highlight players, right? Joe Burrow had a horrible offensive line. They still haven't been able to ride it, but guess what? They get paid butts in seats because the connection between him and Jamar Chase when they went Jamar Chase at 5. And now you got an idea of going Rome Odunze, Will Levis. Rome Odunze is a great deep ball wide receiver. Will Levis is a great deep ball quarterback. I mean, I know you got other receivers on the offense. Calvin Ridley. Yes, old. You know, and you get the young buck to say, hey, let's build around our quarterback. Yes, our offensive line is not that great, but hey, Will Levis was able to sling it. There is a plethora of offensive guards and tackles in this draft. We go get ourselves a couple of those guys after the draft. And now that Titans team, I mean, if Rome Odunze goes to the Titans, I'm comfortable as hell drafting him. Like,
yeah,
because, yeah, and we you know what? Will Levis.
And people, yeah, I am so in love with Will Levis and what I'm seeing with his off-season training with Jordan Palmer. This guy has put in work in, dude. He looks great, sounds great in interviews, is very excited about this new scheme coming in. And Rome would be a seamless fit because that is literally – he would play Jamar Chase in that Bengal offense that they're bringing over to Nashville. And I am all for that. And Ridley can be the T. Higgins to the Jamar Chase of Rome. And D-Hop, you know, I mean, he's a great value. But, like, if he survives this draft without a wide receiver addition, damn, man, wheels up big time on him. But if not, I think you're right. I think Rome would be a sick – I think this would be – I think that's a better spot for him to produce fantasy right off the bat than a Chicago Bears landing spot with a DJ Moore, a Keenan Allen, and a Kmet and a Swift.
Well, and the reason why we love that is because exactly what they did with Rashee Rice last year. Once you move them into big slot, it really works for a guy that with the type of size and capability that Rashee Rice does have and Rome Odunze has. The thing about Rome Odunze, he went to the Titans. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to say, okay, no problem. You drafted a rookie. I'm going to let him play my outside role and then I'll go to the big slot. Like, no, rookie, you can go play the big slot. Okay, yep. Let us do some work out here.
He's gonna decapitate my guy Burks for the last time, and he's gonna be off the roster. Burks and that's what it's gonna happen. And I'm all for it because if you don't produce, get out. Like it's just what happens in the NFL. And Rome Odunze is that guy, man. And
should we hot take this? Rome Odunze to the Titans?
I think Rome Odunze to the Titans is a great pick. I think phenomenal.
Let's just leave it there. Rome Odunze to the Titans. Now the Falcons come up. This one's a pretty easy spot here for the first defensive player off the board.
Yep.
You know, the guys over at NFL Stock Exchange, they were leaning the same way that I really leaned or was leaning. And I really think Jerzon Newton from Illinois is a absolute maniac. And I just feel like when you see all these number one picks like Trayvon Walker, right? They get picked, you know, top 10. The guy that went to the Raiders last year from the freaking Texas Tech. I forgot his name, but maybe you can look that up for me while I'm talking about him. But it's a system where they draft a lot of upside at the defensive position. My whole thing is he has production, but his upside is Carter. I mean, And we saw how game changing he was. And when it's coming up from the middle like that, Aaron Donald showed you for many years how disruptive mm-hmm. that is. Now you can go try to grab yourself an edge. There's a lot of second round edge guys, or even just, you know, but I just think that that would be a good fit there. Byron Murphy seems to be the nuts as the number one defensive player, but I do think Byron Murphy and Jerzon Newton are just a tiny bit different player, but Jerzon has a little more tenacity to his game. But Dallas Turner did just turn 21 in February, and they were talking Damn. About how his only real athleticism in playing comp is Von Miller. And we Jeez, saw Von dude. Miller be... I think Von Miller's number one overall, right? Number one or number two overall. And he played very, very him. Long. A disruptor, yeah. an entire disruptor. So
it's like
I
him
mean,
and Lawrence tough. Taylor, dude. Like those two yeah. are like the dudes, man.
It's hard to comp anyone to anyone but them now because they were yeah. outliers, you know? And so it's just kind of tough. I think in the end, they're going to go Dallas Turner just for age, okay. youth, and upside on right. the defense. They have A.J. Terrell, who's coming on as one of the better corners, age, youth, and upside. I think we'll go Dallas Turner at eight, unless you got yeah. a fire take
no,
on that.
I mean, unless the only thing I could think of that stops him going white, I mean, stops him from going to the defensive side of the ball is if Rome falls to them. What does Atlanta do if Rome is staring them in the face? I know they signed
hey,
Darnell
you
Mooney.
Scorned me for this.
I know, but doesn't mean we don't talk about it. We got to talk about it.
Yes, because the Titans picking Rome. Because I mean, we love Rome. Rome is the pick in the top 10
Rome
picks.
Is an unbelievable player, dude. Like,
there's even talk that Rome goes ahead of Neighbors.
100%. Like 100%. Like totally. I think if I totally think it's possible that Malik Neighbors is the third wide receiver off the board. Not my board, but it could be totally possible. But Rome Odunze to the Atlanta Falcons would totally crater my guy Drake London's upside. Like the nuclear option of upside in that offense with Kirk True. Cousins,
the nuclear,
but,
yeah,
yeah. Like I'm talking like top eight finish, top seven finish is possible with Drake right now. So that I'm actually like for all my Drake shares out there, I'm praying Rome goes to Tennessee and isn't available for Atlanta to even think about because that would be awful for me, but. Tennessee makes a ton of sense to me. Old wide receivers.
Or New York makes a ton of sense. Or even a trade up for Odunze. A lot of people are talking mm-hmm. about a trade up for Odunze. And mm-hmm. that's because everyone is mocking Odunze to the Bears. So it's like almost a fault line of Odunze to the Bears. So even if the Jets wanted him, you got to trade up with Tennessee. You got to trade up with New York, you know, to yeah. get ahead of some of these teams. You got to trade up. You got to ask to get up to the Chargers pick. Hey, what's it going to take? We don't want quarterback. We want Odunze. So, and you know what? It's because of Odunze's, his interviews. I mean, he seems like an incredible guy. GMs are going to love this guy. He's not necessarily a surefire pick. He's essentially
dude,
a Larry Fitzgerald.
He is, man. I love every bit about him. I think he's Davante Adams, to be honest, with more speed. I think he's got more high end speed than Davante Adams. I think Rome plays so in control that he doesn't have to use all of his speed. So I think he's so confident and comfortable within his own self and being running routes that he knows that he can take his time. Like he really can. He's awesome. Like probably the most he is literally the most well-rounded wide receiver in the draft.
I think so too. Marvin's
just more insulated with value because of name brand. He's Gucci. You know what I mean? Like he's Gucci out there and you're going to pay for Gucci. And for Rome, I think he's just as good. If you can get any of these top three guys on your team, you're getting literally top 10 wide receiver dynasty assets right now.
Well, in our mock draft, Rome went 7 to the Titans. So we're going to go ahead and go Dallas Turner here, I think, with the age upside, like we said. So we're going on to the Bears at 9. If Dallas Turner's gone, Rome has gone to the Bears at 9. At that point, I do believe they end up sticking on the defensive side, even though they wanted Rome and Brock Bowers is there. Now, if Brock Bowers is there to the Bears, that would be a tough spot for me not to pick there. I understand that they got a Cole Kmet and they got all these, you know, guys on the team. But if you really want to change something, you want to make a guy, you give him a lot of opportunity to be open, because there's no way you're not guarding DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Okay. Nope. And DeAndre Swift coming somewhere out of the backfield. It's tough. So if we want to shock it again, let's say that Brock Bowers goes to the Bears. We're just going to say
I think that's sick. I think that's now exactly how it goes.
The Jets, who were looking to get an offensive piece, now are pretty much going to fill in. Joe Walt's there. Now they go Joe Walt. Joe Walt at 10 to the Jets. Now we got the Chargers at 11, and the Chargers wanted offensive tackle or any offensive lineman. They could have taken all at 5 if they sat back there, whatever they wanted to do. I think at 11, now that Brock Bowers is gone, Odunze's gone, at this point, you got to go offensive line or defense. That's their two biggest needs. And you could even still trade a pick here. There's still a lot of guys that are on the board where they might be able to trade picks here, but I think they would either go Olu Fashanu, probably something like that.
I think 100% you're right. I think that's the pick.
Yep.
And then you go
12 to the Broncos. This one's the easy pick. It's Bo Nix, 110% Bo Nix there. 13, that's going to be the Raiders, right?
Yes.
It's going to be Penix, it seems
like.
It just seems like Penix fits what they want to do. Devontae Adams has not had a deep ball passer in his life. Dude, yeah, like Aaron Rodgers is great, but I just don't think that that deep ball from Penix is spun unbelievably well. Okay,
it's different, man. He swings it with those massive. His long arms and massive hands. Just the ball comes out of his hand with RPMs that are just different. Like it's clean, and I'm excited to see him throw the ball to Devontae. I think that's the fit. I think the mentality of Penix, man. Did you see his Players Tribune letter that he wrote to GMs? Oh, man. The only test you need to take is the EKG, because it's all about my heart, man. Are you kidding me? Like, that is just – that's the kind of stuff that I will bet on. Like, I'm serious, because this kid Penix can play. We've been saying it. He is the Stroud of this draft class. He is the guy that can actually walk in and turn an offense around and go in the right direction and get the respect of veterans, man, because just the way this guy is and what he's been through.
I agree. It's a very good pick for the organization.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this real quick, because the Raiders, like, no other team really needs a quarterback. So, like, why wouldn't they trade back, right? Because let's actually do something crazy, because every other team, let's trade back here, because the Colts are at 15, right? And they want to go receiver, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you have the Jaguars at 19, might want to go receiver too. Okay. So I think it's kind of tough where the Bengals could be in on this too for a receiver. Mm-hmm. And Brian Thomas Jr., he's been mocked to the Colts often. Do you think that a team could come up with the Raiders to where the Raiders could slide back just to 19? And still take Penix plus.
The only thing I would be nervous about, if as a Raiders guy, I think the Saints are low key looking for a quarterback. I think that is a spot that Penix would be perfect in. He would be a great, great fit with Olave. That's one team that could do it. But yeah, if I knew that for, if I knew for some reason that they weren't going to be in the quarterback market and I had a good pulse on that, I can see that happening. And I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a Colt no matter what. I think I feel like that is the fit for him.
Okay, you know what? The Raiders are going to stand pat because I completely forgot about the Seahawks. And the Seahawks could absolutely take a swing on Penix. If you go beyond 16, you're risking it.
Miami.
Right? You're risking your whole franchise, right? Miami, so, yeah, Raiders going to take Penix at 13. 14, yep, the Saints. You. Saints go offensive tackle. I don't care who does it.
Yeah.
15 is the Colts. You and I both think that Brian Thomas Jr. really fits that team. They need a true downfield guy. They have a gadget guy in Downs. They have a, I mean, almost a gadget guy in Pittman. But Pittman's more of a, he's
big
a,
slot. He does everything.
But he's not a gadget receiver per se. He's not running screens. He's not, you know.
No, he's a flanker. He's like, he's more of a Puka Nacua.
He's an X.
That guy. He can do it all, though. Like
he can do it all. So I think Brian Thomas Jr., who can run downfield and really open up that offense, is going to be great there. The Seahawks, that's the tough one. That's the one where you'd really like to swing on Penix. You didn't get a chance to swing on Penix. You might want to trade back. You might want to blah, 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 blah. But at this point, again, Jazon Newton, Byron Murphy, Law 2 is there. Jared
Verse
is there.
If Byron Murphy's there, just take Byron Murphy.
I personally would take Jared Verse.
Yeah, I know you like Jared Verse. You've been saying it for
I want a pass rusher there. Somebody can actually affect the game. They signed Leonard Williams to a 3-year deal. Leonard Williams can be a somewhat of a blocking wall there.
You're right. Jared Verse is a way better pick for that. You're right.
Now, Law 2 is the more premier pass rusher. So if Mike McDonald actually says, hey, I'm okay with Law 2's medicals. Let's just get him in here and just start hauling ass to the quarterback every down, you know, if he's got a motor that can do it right. Because when you do that and he's specifically a third down pass rusher, if the guy's going to give you 10, 15 sacks, if you can get up to 15 sacks, it'd be great. Right. And then you don't have to worry too much about his neck because he's not in there 24/7 taking run plays. You got guys like Boye Mafe and Derek Hall to be in there to try to take, you know, rushing and there's other guys in this draft. Now, we don't get a chance to get it until the third round because we're missing a second rounder. But at this point, there's nobody to trade up for it. So let's say we're going to take Law 2 or we're going to take Verse.
Let's go Verse.
And then 17, I forget who's at 17. I think it might be the Bengals at 17 or 18.
Actually, it's the Jags. A.D. Mitchell.
To the Jags at 17?
Yep.
Ooh, shit. And you know what? I love Jacksonville because I'm a big wrestling guy, and the son is the owner of the second biggest wrestling company. And so, but they are dumb. Their drafting is kind of dumb. They may take A.D. Mitchell. If A.D. Mitchell goes top 17, it's going to throw the fantasy world ablaze.
I think that is the spot.
Okay, we're going to go A.D. Mitchell at 17. Yeah. So is it the Bengals at 18 or 19? Oh, the Rams are at 19, I think. So you got the Bengals.
18's Bengals. 18, A.D. Mitchell got sniped away from the Bengals.
Yep. So if they go offense and maybe J.C. Latham went to the Saints, so then let's go Fautanu. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go Fautanu to the Bengals. Yeah. So that would be great because they need kind of a gadget guy anyway. Can play all over in case other guys get down. And then we have the 19 Rams. Rams are going to go Law 2. Again, I think Law 2 fits really well there. 20, I think, is that – that is – go ahead. You got that's it in front
a,
of
that, there has to be – that. I think a corner would be nice for the Steelers. They could use a corner because – I think Brian Thomas would have been the pick or A.D. Mitchell would have been the pick, but they don't get the pick. They're so good at drafting.
Let's go Cooper DeJean. Steelers, that fits well. 21 is the Dolphins. They need offensive tackle. They need somebody. Yep. So throw like Mims or Jackson Powers Johnson or somebody there. I think we're missing a big name. Oh, Fuaga. Let's go Fuaga.
Dude, Fuaga probably would have been a Seattle Seahawk, right?
No, he probably would have been a Saint. Maybe a Saint. But in our mock, he didn't go there. That's our draft take. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I like Fuaga, right? Because that guy is that guy's good. And he's dominant. He's got a great
rushing. That's good for Miami.
Yeah, they need that, okay? They need that, 100%. Oh,
dude, big time. They are – so the one of my big bold takes is this, is that Miami is in trouble. Miami is in trouble with their roster. They're in trouble with contract because they don't know what to do with Tua. They don't know if they should pay Tua for top money when it, let's just say, Penix somehow, some way, made it down to Miami. Let's say people are scared of the medical, he drops. What happens if Penix is staring them in the face, a perfect scheme fit quarterback? You can restart the quarterback market and you can move on from Tua. And you can you can help out your whole program by selling off on Tua. You could trade away Tua.
Yeah, but some, what Tua are you Giants, trading maybe. Tua for?
I would send him to the Giants for next year's first, a second next year, something like that. I would do anything possible to get him off my roster and restart again. Because honestly, they missed their window. They missed. Unfortunately,
well,
Tua's
not a miss.
Injuries.
I mean,
no, I'm saying their whole circumstance of what happened to that team last year with injuries, with everything that went on with the defense, all their pass rushers were down. All their line was down last year. They really got screwed. And now the contracts have come home to roost and they got to re-sign Tyreek Hill again soon or a Waddle too. So they got to figure out what the hell they got to do. And honestly, restarting with a Penix, if he's available, that would be my most ruthless move I would do as a GM if I was in their spot. I would totally move and go get Penix and start over and sell to a QB needy team and move on.
So if that were to happen, do you think Penix is worth this or Tua would be worth the 6 overall pick?
No, absolutely not. No, no. I think
what would you move for him? Because if he's not worth the 6 overall pick now, you can't do a 1 next year because you just don't know that your team, unless you're betting on Tua and you think, oh, we're not going to be 6. So we're moving 22 next year for him. And that's a straight up pick.
Yep.
It's probably not enough to get Tua.
Or what about?
And a 2 this year. So it's like 2.
What about Tua to the Raiders? That would be a good move. Tua to the Broncos could be a move as well. If the Broncos missed out and they don't want to take Bo Nix. I don't know. I think there is major conversation going on behind those closed doors with McDaniels. He knows he can get more out of his offense. He knows it. He knows it. And
yeah,
I think
that's
he knows
true. He is kind of that type of mastermind where he's like, knows. You know what? I can't do this. And it's like, maybe that's why we're not winning because he's absolutely taken that team to an offensive
juggernaut. It's a lot like the Goff for Stafford deal.
Yeah, but that was an internal deal because Goff took a pass at his
coach. I understand, but what I'm saying is this, is that McVay knew Goff wasn't going to do it. McVay felt it. I think McVay saw
or at least he got there a lot quicker because he hit on
his got head. He got to see the ceiling of Goff and he knew that Stafford would bring him over the top.
Yeah, it's a good play. I mean, Penix. We could take another draft hot take is that there's two teams with veteran quarterbacks. I wouldn't say like two incredibly
that is
veteran,
my hot takes for sure, yes.
But you have Tua and you have Justin Herbert that could absolutely be moved on a team that one team, which is Herbert's team, is almost directly in a rebuild, almost. And then you have the Dolphins team that are like, hey, if they don't get it done right now, what are they staring down, you know?
And they know, because the Bills are doing the same exact thing they're doing. They got to rebuild, and same thing. They know this is the Jets' 1 year. This is the 1 year the Jets are going to make a big-time run. The Buffalo Bills know it. Miami knows it. And the New England knows it. They're building for after this next year, okay?
Hey, and you know what? That is kind of a good idea because the Bills are down. So, yes. Like, if you think about it, the Patriots are way far down. The Bills are down right now, which if the Miami Dolphins really level up they could secure themselves the top seed in that division for at least 2 or 3 years. Yes. So, I mean, you would know. Now, is that enough to think that Tua can't get it done?
I think Tua is apt. I think Tyreek Hill, without Tyreek Hill, Tua would not be putting these numbers up, man. I just don't see it ever happening. That's why I think Penix is such a perfect fit for that offense. And I think McDaniels knows it, man. I think he knows it. And I think he's sly. And I think he's...
That would be so crazy.
I think he's crazy. Dude, this is the time to do it because they know that the Jets are going to fall off in 2025 and beyond, 2026 and beyond, because A-Rod's going to be gone. They're going to have to rebuild a new quarterback. And so that's another place that people don't want to talk about is, what if Penix went to the Jets to back up A-Rod and sat for a year?
Which really works this year, because they can grab, if they wanted a wide receiver, they missed out on Odunze, could grab Penix and then just say, hey, that actually makes stupid sense.
I know. You know,
that actually makes great, but they still don't have a great offensive line. But if they draft the offensive line in the second round again a year,
they can't be stuck again without a quarterback, dude. They can't do that again. But hey, if you're the Jets though, they know they're going all in here. Like, go get the best weapon possible and just go all in, dude. Like, that's the move.
Yeah, but remember, in this mock, Neighbors is gone. Odunze is gone. And Bowers is gone. In our mock that we've just done, Bowers is gone. Oh, yeah,
because Bowers went to Chicago.
At 10, you almost have to think, okay, we're shooting for it right now. Let's back up our QB, make sure we have one for the next 10 years, and then we know we can go and grab
it. It could be a Drew Bledsoe to a Tom Brady situation for the Jets. And it would be just A-Rod going down again, and then big Penix energy comes in to save the day for the Jets, and boom, he just, dude, I think Penix would be a great fit in that offense.
Wow. To be honest with you. Okay. Well, you heard it there. I think we actually just kind of switched some things up. We didn't switch it up. The draft hot take is that we have a couple teams that could mysteriously be in the Michael Penix sweepstakes.
100%.
I mean, I think, I don't know. I'm not necessarily going to agree that it's going to happen just because the injury histories, and you don't want to go so high on a pick on a guy that could go down one time and he's out for the 5 years, you know, or out of the league. But you are correct. Some may feel that Mike McDaniel might say, hey, Penix is the guy I need. If he's there, if he's not there, whatever. It's possible Penix even slides. It's possible Penix slides.
100%. And that's I actually kind of was upset that all this energy happened with Penix, and now he's rising up the board really far. I really love the fact that he was being projected as a late first, because it was going to be Miami, man. Miami was going to swoop in and go get him, and then he could have traded off Tua and go get themselves some more picks to rebuild the back end of that defense and get more pass rush. Like, I just, that's the way I would go with it. I think Miami knows that they got a new breath of fresh air because of the Bills rebuilding, and so are the New England Patriots, and they are too as well.
All right, so moving on, Philadelphia goes Jackson Powers Johnson. You know, somebody in the interior, 23 would be that second pick traded to the Chargers. At this point, we haven't had a corner. I mean, Philadelphia actually, you know what? Philadelphia goes Quinyon Mitchell. We haven't had the corners.
Boom.
Philadelphia needs a corner. We're going to go Quinyon Mitchell.
We gave DeJean to the Steelers.
That's right. Well, that's right. DeJean, Quinyon, you know, DeJean Mort could play safety too. So he's versatile. So let's just stick with that. Yeah, Quinyon goes to Philadelphia. That's great. And then you have the Chargers at 23 at that second pick. That first pick, they got Olu, so they went line there. That next pick, they got Terrion Arnold. corner. You know, they've been missing that. That's great. Dallas at 24. This is a sneak. This is where it gets this sneaky again.
One of my favorite ones.
Go ahead and hit the pick.
I think it's Xavier Worthy.
I think that's a great spot for him too. Because you know what? Dak secretly does have that huge downfield arm. We've seen it to only one guy. We can't seem to get another option there. Xavier Worthy is a jack of all trades, can do a lot of things. And I just think, yes, if he can actually open up and actually run well there. And then Texas to Texas, right? So we like that. Green Bay, don't really care. Tampa Bay seems defense. They both seem defense. You get to the Arizona pick of 27. Now, this is crazy because, yes, they went Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick 4, but could they go another offensive weapon? I mean,
yes,
they don't have anybody else. So do you just double tap it or do you go defense?
I would love to see Ladd McCoy.
Byron Murphy's still on the board.
Yeah. Okay. If Byron Murphy's on the board, you draft him. Like I would have drafted Byron Murphy somewhere in the top 15. I think that guy's a freaking bear. So I think he's going to go much higher than we think, but I'm telling you, the Cards, that would be having Ladd McConkey as the flanker, having Michael Wilson in the slot, Trey McBride at tight end, and Marvin Harrison Jr. at the X. That looks pretty.
Okay, let's go crazy. Let's go Ladd McConkey to the to the Cardinals. They double tap wide receiver, really stack the deck for Kyler. I mean, you know, that would be crazy. I think that's, you know what? Yes. Okay, let's do that. So then we get to Buffalo. At this point, A.D. Mitchell's gone.
Gone.
Xavier Worthy's gone. Ladd McConkey's gone. Is this too high of a pick for Ricky Pearsall, first round?
They might be able to trade back and still get him.
I think it's possible right here. They trade this to Bengals and they get T. Higgins.
I like it.
I mean, two AFC teams, but nobody's called for T. Higgins. Nobody, you know, maybe they don't want to give it.
Or my next call, Ayuk to the Bills.
Yeah, that could be one too. But for this pick, you think he might be worth more than that? Like if Ayuk is going, then are you telling me? But if Ayuk is going, are you telling me a first and a third the Bills got to give up? Right? Okay, first and third. Or would you take Ayuk if you were the Colts instead of Brian Thomas Jr.? And it would just be a much higher first round pick, so you don't have to give up the third. But the problem is you got to pay Ayuk, right? And you just paid Pittman.
Yeah, I would go Brian Thomas because honestly, Ayuk does his damage from the X mostly, and I think that's where Pittman's going to live.
Yeah, but two outside guys, and then you have Downs going through. You're fine.
Yeah,
and you know what? You got a quarterback on the rookie contract. You got your third wide receiver on a rookie contract. That would be a. You know, that would be a really cool freaking thing to see too.
I just think it makes so much sense for Ayuk to the Bills because it's NFC to the AFC. Ayuk won't hurt him. Ayuk is literally Stephon Diggs-esque.
He can do the same stuff. The Bills. That's what we're calling.
I think Ayuk to the Bills for trade. That's the trade.
Okay, now then we get to the other spot here at Detroit. It ain't Ricky Pearsall. Xavier Leggett to Detroit.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
They need an outside guy. They got an Amon-Ra already.
Yep.
And you know what? I've seen a lot of scouts and a lot of fantasy analysts talk about this. And it's like, you know what? The crazy part about Leggett is all the downsides to him. He actually is the only one with the true upside of a number one wide receiver outside of the top five. Like, you know,
right.
Brian Thomas Jr. does not profile as a number one receiver. Xavier Leggett, if hits, actually can be seen as a DK Metcalf outside X.
Quite possible.
That can do it. You can't put Ricky Pearsall as an outside X and expect Ricky Pearsall with his Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy. You're not really expecting those guys to dog out at X and be somebody you've got for 5-10 years. It's gotta be Xavier Legette. Now this puts everyone else in a tizzy because they don't care about Baltimore or San Francisco. We're at Kansas City, last pick of the draft, Brandon. Then we're wrapped. We're on an hour here. Of course, it was easy to do. I don't know how we did it, but
it was all, it's always easy. At least we got it out, man. I've been holding all this stuff in. I've been excited about it. Like, this is fun.
Xavier's gone. Xavier's gone. Ladd's gone. A.D. Mitchell's gone. Brian Thomas is gone. Marvin Harrison's gone. Malik Nabers is gone. And, which is six. And Brandon Ayuk is gone. Xavier Legette, right? I already mentioned. So it's Ricky Pearsall to the Chiefs. And Ricky fits that 100% fits that scheme. Or would the Chiefs just bow out on going receiver in the first round because Ricky Pearsall is not a first round talent?
I think they bow out and because they signed Marquise Brown. Boo. That's the main reason. I think Rice is going to miss a grand total of 4 to 6 games. I think
so.
They
you
can
need
get past
somebody.
That.
You can't do it. You saw them. They sucked.
Yeah.
Justin Watson sucks.
They can go get a third rounder, man. Like
Coleman.
Go get a Javon Baker later. Like,
I mean, you could do both. Yeah. I mean, Ricky Pearsall is the last guy. You know he's gone at 201 to the Carolina Panthers.
I would love that for the Panthers. That's a great fit.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree on Bryce Young being decent. So do we take Ricky to the Chiefs or we let it go? Final take.
I let it go. I don't think he makes the first round.
Ricky Pearsall does not make the first round, but that was our first round breakdown fantasy football show and our last minute draft takes. Brandon, if you want to throw one last take out there, we will get out of here.
No, just enjoy the draft, everybody. It's going to be a wild ride. We have no idea. It's been fun to talk about, but it's finally over. Christmas is here. Let's open our presents.
All right. We're opening the presents tomorrow with all of you watching the draft. We're going to get crazy. We're going to get maniacal. And you guys have a good day. You know, once this happens, the draft, you know, all of our off-season drafts look to go forward. We got a draft we're going to be breaking down as well. So it's just crazy. For Brandon Adam, I am Flex Matt. Go to DFSArmy.com only if you want to win life-changing money. And we